Okay, we're in the final countdown. Shavuos is just a few days away, and we need to be ready. We need to know what we're getting ourselves into. Let's first see what Klal Yisrael got themselves into and what Klal Yisrael got us into. But we know the famous pasuk that Klal Yisrael said, Vayikach Sefer HaBrit Vayikra Bo'oznei Ha'am, that Moshe Rabbeinu read the covenant to the Jewish people. Vayomru kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. The famous phrase, na'aseh v'nishma, we're committed. The Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went around to every nation. Would you like to have the Torah? One nation said, what's in it? No murder, that's not for us. Another nation said, what's in it? No adultery, that's not for us. Another nation asks, what's in it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no stealing, that's not for us. Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to Klal Yisrael, and instead of asking what's in it, Na'aseh V'Nishma, we're committed. So, this creates a very serious problem with another pasuk, and how Chazal understood that pasuk. And the Tosfos is bothered by the problem, the Maharal is bothered by the problem, and even more so, the Maharal is bothered by Tosfos' solution to the problem. So, the pasuk is Vayityatzvu betachtit hahar. The Jewish people stood. The simple understanding is they stood at the edge of the mountain of Har Sinai to get the Torah. But the phrase betachtit hahar sounds like they stood under the mountain. So you have the famous Gemara in Shabbos Pechet. Amar Rav Avdimi bar Chama bar Chaso Melamed. What does this verse teach us? Shekofa HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleihem et hahar kigigis. God held the mountain over them like an inverted barrel. The Omar Lahem, and he said, Im atem mekablim haTorah mutaf. If you accept the Torah, everything is going to be fine. Ve'im lav, but if you don't accept the Torah, sham tehei kvuratchem. This is going to be your burial place. What would be phrased in today's world, an offer you can't refuse. So, the question immediately arises. Tosfos asks the question. V'afal pishek far higdimu na'aseh l'nishma. What's going on here? They said na'aseh v'nishma. That's why God brought them, because nobody else wanted the Torah. They want the Torah. So now God is going to give them the Torah. And we're standing here, ready to take the Torah. Like you're standing at a business deal to negotiate. You finished all the negotiations, and you're ready to sign the contract. And the other guy, and the lawyers pull out a gun and hold a gun at your head and said, "Sign the contract, or we'll blow your brains out." I'm here to sign the contract. What's this? So that's Tosfos's kasha, and Tosfos gives a teretz that the Maharal doesn't like, right? That okay, and so we have to understand what was the kafahar kegigis after na'aseh v'nishma. So before we see the Maharal's teretz, we also need to see another medrash, a gemara, right in that same place, analyzing the power of na'aseh v'nishma. And when you think about na'aseh v'nishma, of course, logically it makes no sense, because you can't do something if you don't know what you're supposed to do. So what did it mean, na'aseh v'nishma, they committed without knowing? Basically what they're saying is, we're committed. Now tell us what to do. Our commitment is independent of what the details are. As opposed to all the other nations, they were ready to commit if they liked the details. So it doesn't mean we're going to do before we know what to do. Na'aseh, we're committed. Now nishma, now we got to learn to know what to do. But says the Gemara, Amar Rav Elazar, b'shoa shehigdimu Yisrael na'aseh l'nishma. Higdimu. Right? The idea is that the normal way of a person is to say, tell me what to do, and either I'll do it at the highest level, or I'll decide whether to do it at the next level. But how is it possible to say you'll do before you know what to do? And the Gemara uses this as an example in a number of places, that calls the Jewish people pezizim, impetuous, that you rush to commit before you even knew what you're getting yourself into. But the Gemara says that when the Jewish people said na'aseh v'nishma, yotzos abat kol, a heavenly voice goes out, the Amar Lahem, and says, migila libanai raz zeh Shemalachei Hasharet Mishtam Shimbo. Who revealed this secret? It's a secret, Naseh Nishma, that angels know it. Angels use this. This is what angels say. Who told this to human beings? And it brings a proof text that this is an angelic statement. Dichsiv Baruchu Hashem Malachav Gibore Koach Osei Devaro. The angels who are strength, who are strong, bless Hashem. They're Osei Devaro. They do His words. Lishmoa Bikol Devaro, to listen to His words. So, of course, you have to realize that it's out of order. It says that they're going to Osei Devaro. They're going to do His words. Lishmoa Kol Devaro. Bereisha Osi V'Hadar Lishmoa. First to do, and then to hear. So what does it mean that this is an angelic concept? What are the angels doing? And what are we, what did we tap into when we said it? The answer is that an angel is created to do its job. An angel doesn't have free will, and therefore an angel by definition is a Naseh V'Nishma creation, that it is there to do the job, and now we'll assign the job. But the first thing is the creation is to do the job. So when Klal Yisrael said Naseh V'Nishma, it was an angelic insight that they viewed themselves as, we're here to do the job. Commitment. Now tell us what the job is. Okay, so that's beautiful. That's very nice. Naseh V'Nishma, beautiful, we're committed. Now tell us what to do. So now the problem, that strengthens the problem of this kafahar kegigis. So what is God holding the mountain over their heads? So says the Maharal, that not after Naseh V'Nishma, God gives us the Torah. So what's our attitude towards the Torah that God gives us after Naseh V'Nishma? So the Maharal's language is, Anachnu kibalnu ha-Torah me'atzmeinu. We decided to accept Torah. And of course, if we decided, we're going to use a phrase that's very common today, personal autonomy. We made a decision. We could have decided no, and we decided yes. That's the idea, freedom of choice. People like to be free. No one's going to tell me what to do. Personal autonomy. So we received the Torah. We could have said no. We're good guys. We said yes. So what's wrong with that? Says the Maharal, that's not aligned with the essence of what Torah is. Because, says the Maharal, the world is dependent. The existence of the world depends on Torah being in the world. The Gemara there in Shabbos, Peches, okay, talks about the famous drasha that in creation, every day of creation finishes Vayera Vayiboker Yom Sheni, Vayera Vayiboker Yom Shlishi. And when we get to the sixth day, Vayera Vayiboker Yom, everybody says it in Kiddush, don't you realize? Vayera Vayiboker Yom Hashishi, that extra hey. And the Gemara darshans that there was, that creation was dependent on that sixth day. The sixth day alluding to the sixth of Sivan, and that the world was, creation was hanging in abeyance, dependent on whether the Jewish people received the Torah, and Maaseh Breishis was in limbo, where if the Jewish people would not have received the Torah, says the Gemara, the world would have returned to Tohu Vavo, primordial chaos. So the whole world depends on the Jewish people receiving the Torah. So, therefore, it's not appropriate that that Torah go in as an option. Well, we decided to take the Torah. We could have said no. Well, saying no means there's no existence. So, what we're saying is Torah is an imperative. It's not a choice anymore than the laws of nature are a choice. Do we choose to conform to the laws of nature? No, they're there. They're given. Well, somehow or other, a person doesn't view the requirement, the need to conform to laws of nature as a violation of his or her personal autonomy. Nature is a given, and we follow the rules and the laws of nature. Says the Maharal that Torah, which appears on the surface to be optional, because everybody knows that if you go up to the top of the building and take a step off, because you are not, I have personal autonomy, no one's going to tell me what to do, and no, I'm not going to listen to the laws of gravity. Everybody knows what happens. Okay? So we like to think, yeah, but in Torah, I could keep Shabbos, I won't keep Shabbos, I eat kosher, I won't eat kosher, I'll daven, I won't daven. Right? Well, so the chiddush here is that no, the laws of the Torah are imperative, and while God allowed the individual to retain free choice about whether to follow the laws of the Torah or not, something he did not reserve for us in following the laws of nature, but the Torah entering the world has to enter the world with the realization that existence depends on the Torah. Says the Maharal, therefore, the essence of existence can't be built on something optional. And yes, the Jewish people said, Nasa v'nishma, we want the Torah. And if they would not have said that, return to primordial chaos. However, when the Torah is now being given in the world, says the Maharal, the process by which the Torah enters the world has to be a process of, not a comfortable word in today's society, it has to be with a process of coercion. Imperative. And therefore, Kafahar Kegigis was necessary as the process by which the Torah that the Jewish people willingly accepted, but the process by which that Torah enters the world, has to be one that reflects the nature of Torah, which is imperative. Just as imperative as the laws of nature. So this is an angelic secret, Nasa v'nishma. The Jewish people said, we are committed to our mission. Once that secret was unlocked, God now gives the Torah. But the process of giving the Torah has to come in, and that's what we have to realize, is that we look at the Torah as optional. Yeah, I can, yes, Baruch Hashem, all of you guys are sitting here, because most of you grew up with Torah not even being optional, it was less than optional, and then you decided, I'm going to willingly choose to align my life with Torah. I could have said yes, I could have said no. I decided yes, for whatever reasons, it's a more meaningful, maybe it's the objective truth, all of the reasons that bring people to keep Torah. But the chiddush here of Kafahar Kegigis is that while the individual retains personal autonomy, but Torah is a reality. So there's an interesting psychological dialectic in the human being. Right? And we have to realize that on the one hand, people want autonomy and freedom. And on the other hand, people want structure. A person who lives a life with no structure, with no rules, ultimately ends up in a depression, ends up in a very bad place emotionally and psychologically. And it's the structure that gives meaning to your life. And that structure has to have ideals and meaning and purpose. So, as an individual, you want structure, you want meaning, you want purpose. So, let's take another page out of the Book of the Angels and see also how there's another issue here as we're receiving Torah that needs to be identified. So the Medrash says like this. The Medrash says, it's actually on what should have been this week's Parsha in Israel. It is this week's Parsha outside of Israel. And it's supposed to be the Parsha always read before Shavuos, but because of the calendar in Israel, we got a little messed up, and we're not going to fix it until Matos Maaseh, the end of Bamidbar. But really, this week should be Parshas Bamidbar. And in Parshas Bamidbar, it talks about Ish al Machaneu v'Ish al Diglo, that every person, every shevet was arranged digalim. A degel, in modern terminology, is a flag, but it's an identity symbol. Okay? And the Medrash says like this. Kivan shenigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Har Sinai. When God revealed Himself at Sinai to the Jewish people, Yardu imo chav bet elef merkavot malachim. 22,000 chariots of angels accompanied God when He came down at Sinai. V'hoyu asuyim digolim digolim. And these angels, these 22,000 chariots of angels, they were arranged in banners, in identifying symbols. Kivan sherau osan Yisrael shehoyu asuyin digalim. The Jewish people saw this, and they saw the angels are arranged as digalim. We'll see what this means in a minute. Hitchilu mitavim ledigalim. They started longing. They had a desire for digalim. So God's response, and they said, levai shanu nasim digalim kemotan. We wish that we were also arranged in digalim like the angels. And God's response was, I'm skipping here a little bit in the Medrash, just to make it more accessible. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hit'avitem b'digalim, you desired these digalim, these to be arranged as in digalim. Chayechem, I swear to you, hareini oseh mish'alotechem. And miyad hakodesh, and I will do what you want. And listen to the next phrase: miyad hakodesh baruch hu hera ahavato Yisrael. God immediately showed His love for the Jewish people, and He told Moshe, go arrange them in digalim. So there are two basic problems here. A lot of problems. Two basic problems. What are these digalim that the angels had that the Jewish people saw and they wanted? And what does it mean that God showed His love for the Jewish people by arranging them in digalim? Don't understand it simplistically. Oh, well, you wanted it, I gave it to you, so that must mean I love you. There's got to be something fundamental here. So, let's understand what the problem is. The problem is that we're about to get a Torah. And if you haven't noticed yet, the Torah is very conformist. Everybody's tefillin has to be black and square. And everybody has to keep Shabbos on the same day. And you got to eat matzah on the 15th of Nisan. Okay? That's it. Everything is conformist. Everybody's got to do it the same way. Well, that certainly compromises our sense of individuality. It makes it almost just communal purpose. Where's our individual? Now, when we look at angels, what do we know about an angel? So every angel has only one purpose. Okay, and every purpose is fulfilled by only one angel. That's digalim, digalim. That's identifiable uniqueness. And the Jewish people see these angels, and every angel is different, and every angel has a different purpose, and every purpose is fulfilled by one angel, and hitavitim. They want this also. They're looking at a conformist Torah, and they're saying, where's the individuality? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you wanted it, you're going to get it. You're going to get that individuality. Degolim, shvatim, mishpachos, families, tribes. But there's going to be an element of individuality. Now, what's the connection to God demonstrating His love for the Jewish people by arranging them this way? So the answer to that, I think, lies in the dreaded question that every one of you, if you had siblings, asked your parents. And those of you who have children dread the question from your children. Of course, that question is, who do you love best? And if your parents were like most parents, they probably said to you, we love you all the same. And if you're like most kids, you rolled your eyes and said, give me a break. Okay? So there's the problem. So the real answer is that no, they could love all of you the same if they realize that each of you is different. And we can love what's different and unique about each child. So they can love you all the same. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges the Jewish people, digolim digolim, giving them individual responsibilities, individual challenges, that's demonstrating love. Because now everyone became different. Everybody has to keep the Torah. But everyone's mission, just like an angel's mission, is different than another angel's mission. So now every Jew's mission becomes different than every other Jew's mission. That's demonstrating the love of the Jewish people by doing that. So we have to realize now that if we are replicating angels, and we've already now seen two elements where we replicate angels, naseh v'nishma, commitment to do the job before we know what the job is. And now our job is, no pun intended, to figure out what our job is. So I'm not here to answer that question, because that's part of the challenge of life. But just to give you one more insight about how important this is, and how much Judaism respects, and in fact demands, a certain self-awareness of your individuality, of your unique role, of how you are supposed to grow towards your potential, with a shlah. The shlah, a very Kabbalistic work, is the source where, if you ever heard the idea of 600,000 letters in the Torah, the source is the shlah. But of course, it's mathematically not correct, because there are only 305,000 plus minus words in the Torah. Yet the shlah says, HaTorah shishim ribu osios hem, shishim ribu nishmos Yisrael. So it's not that there are 600,000 physical letters in the Torah, but there's a conceptual representation that each neshama of the Jewish people is like a letter of the Torah. Now, what does that mean? So here we have to go back to the beginning of the shlah. So the shlah says, in very Kabbalistic terminology, I'll say what it probably means, how I understand it, is that the Torah is a representation, if you will, an imprint. Literally, the word it uses is an imprint or a representation, a communication of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of divinity. So Torah communicates the divinity of God, and man communicates the message of the Torah. That's the language of the shlah. Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu v'Torah mikusharim. Torah roshem Elokut, Adam roshem haTorah. Somehow or other, we're representing, we're recording, we're communicating the Torah, which communicates kiviyochol God. And then it talks about how there are 600,000 letters in that Torah that man has to communicate, which communicates divinity. So if we're understanding it correctly, then it means that every neshama plays the same role in communicating the message of the Torah as a written letter does in the Torah. Now we know that the Torah has lots of letters, and just a parenthetical point, 22,000 chariots of angels. Well, 22, it represents the number of letters in the Torah. 22,000 angels came down. So every Jewish neshama is supposed to communicate together with the other 599,999 neshamos something about the message of the Torah. Now, we know in the Torah that if you're missing a letter, the Torah is puzzled. And of course, a Torah with all the same letters doesn't communicate anything. So the message here is that every Jewish neshama has something unique to communicate about the Torah, which is a representation or a communication of divinity. So that's a message. What am I doing here to bring the message of the Torah, which is really the representation of divinity? How am I bringing that message into the world? And that's the challenge of life, is first of all, to commit to do that, and then figure out, what am I supposed to do? What am I bringing to the table? What am I bringing to the world that's going to communicate what the Torah wants communicated? All of that is what's happening at Sinai. Naseh v'nishma, we're committed to do the job as an angel is committed. Our job is unique, and we need to figure out what it is. And we have to realize with Kafahar Kegigis that while we have free choice, we should look at it as it's really not optional. God allowed us to have free choice, but it's really not a question of do I want to align, do I want to do it or not, but do I want to align myself with reality or somehow or other live in a world that doesn't reflect reality. Lots of people live in fantasy worlds. Lots of people live in Gaga land. But the long-term results are not pretty, and we want to have a very healthy, productive life, and it starts with the identification of our own self and what our mission is, what our role is, and working towards fulfilling that.